Parshas Tetzave, Monday morning, Tav Shem Pei Dalet. Like to share a number of thoughts. And the Parsha will begin with the well-known Bal HaTurim. The Bal HaTurim is on the word Vatot Tetzave. You notice that it doesn't say Vayadaber Hashem and Moshe Lemor. It doesn't mention Moshe Rabbeinu. It goes straight to the point and speaking directly to Moshe. Hashem says Vatot Tetzave. Lo Hiskim Moshe B'Zah, say that Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned. Which is not the case in the rest of the Chumash. Says the Bal HaTurim, from the time that Moshe is born, there's no Seder, there's no Sidra where he's not mentioned. And the reason is because in Parshas Kisisa, when the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael in the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel, so Moshe Rabbeinu davens for Klal Yisrael, and then he says, if you're going to take out your wrath on Klal Yisrael, then I ask you to please erase me from the Sefer that you wrote. Now, it didn't happen. In other words, the Ribbono Shel Olam did not destroy Klal Yisrael, and the Moshe Rabbeinu's Tanai was that he should be, his name should be deleted from the Chumash if the Ribbono Shel Olam destroys Klal Yisrael. But the point is, V'kilul aschachem afilat tnai bo, when a chacham makes a Tanai, so even if the condition was not fulfilled, but there will be some trace of that klola that will be left. So even though Moshe Rabbeinu says, erase me, in other words, but his name did not, it's not that he would want to be erased from the entire Chumash. So even though that wasn't going to be the case, because Hashem forgave Klal Yisrael, but there is somewhat of an erasure, somewhat of a deletion or an omission from the Chumash, and that's in Parshas Tetzave. Okay, and that happens in this Parsha. One has to understand why it's in this Parsha, but more than that, I just want to point something out. If you learn, why is it this Parsha of Tetzave? If you learn like the Ramban, that everything happens in chronological order the way it appears, then Truman Tetzave these parshas came before Parshas Kisisa. So it happened even before Moshe Rabbeinu said, Mechenina Mesifracha. So it would seem that the Ramban cannot agree with this Svora of the Bal HaTurim. The Bal HaTurim is saying this, but it doesn't have to fit with all the Rishonim. But according to Rashi, the Rambam and Mori Nevuchim, and the Sipurna, that Ein Muktim Amuchar B'Torah, so Ein HaChinami, Kisisa occurred before this, and therefore in the aftermath of Kisisa, so the Ribbono Shel Olam omits his name from Parshas Tetzave. What I'm not going to go into is that why is it Dafka Parshas Tetzave where his name didn't appear. And then the Bal HaTurim gives another reason that Moshe Rabbeinu should have actually been the Kohen. He should have been a Kohen Gadol. But the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu lost to the Kohen Gadol is because he was refusing to accept the Shlichas of Hashem when Hashem was urging him to go to Mitzrayim to be the spokesman, to be the Manig. And because of that, he lost the kohuna, was given over to Aaron, as the Gemara tells us in Zvachim. And therefore, his name is not mentioned because of Agmas Nafsho. It would be too much Agmas Nefesh because this parsha deals with the kohuna gedola, the big day kohuna. So it would be, as we would say, it would be adding insult to injury. Yeah, and so therefore, says the Bal HaTurim, therefore his name is not mentioned, so as not to bring to his attention at least, or maybe to our attention also, that really he should have been the one wearing these big day kahuna, and it's Atzakma Sefesh. Okay, so that's the Bal HaTurim. Now, moving on, the Rashbam, so he points out that it says in Truma, V'yikuli Truma, V'yikuli, and take from me Truma. So he says, and over here, Vatat Tzave es b'nei Yisrael v'yikhu eilecha. Right? What's the point? V'yikhu li v'yikhu eilecha. In other words, much was said about the v'yikhu, take it from me, l'shmi, for my sake. Now, why is this v'yikhu eilecha word used here in Tzave? Why didn't it say, Vatat Tzave es b'nei Yisrael v'yikhu li shemen zayisach? It's for the service of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Rashbam says that the tzivoy of the Mishkan was l'tzorach ha-Mishkan l'fishah. It was for that moment, for that time. But the tzivoy of Hashem of the oils l'chol ha-doris, He says to put shemen l'chol shana v'shana. In other words, you built the Mishkan one time, so you collected the materials one time. Now that material, you know, that you built the Mishkan with was evident because the Mishkan stands for all of these years, right? But it was a one-time gift through which the Mishkan was built. He says, but the shemen, it's an ongoing gift. It's an ongoing contribution because you have enough oil for the upkeep of the menorah. L'chein hu omer, there it says, v'atot etzave. He says, and you command them, shine haloshin, the language is changed, l'fisha kol loshin tzava l'dorosu. Because every tzava is always said l'doros. As it says, loshin tzivoy is miyad l'doros. So actually, the Rashbam is not dealing with the v'yichu lecha v'yichu li. I correct myself. The Rashbam is referring to the word v'atot etzavis b'nei Yisrael. In other words, in Truma, it says da'abrel b'nei Yisrael v'yichu li Truma without using the Lashon tzav, without using the Lashon command. And here it says v'atot etzavis, you shall command. The difference is that the Lashon tzivui connotes not only a tzivui for now, but it's an ongoing tzivui. So again, in Parshas Truma, it was a one-time mitzvah. Bring your donations. They didn't bring a donation every year for the building of the Mishkan, and therefore it doesn't say tetzave. But here it says tetzave because the word tetzave has a connotation of an ongoing tzivui, because Chazal say tetzave means miyad. It's for the immediate uladoros. Now, what I mentioned earlier, the difference between v'yikhoi lecha and v'yikhuli, so there is a very interesting Meshech Chochma here. The Meshech Chochma, the first one in the Parsha, he cites the Ibn Ezra in Parsha's Bahaloscha, that he says as follows, that even though every time the Rebbeinu Shel Olam appears to Moshe Rabbeinu with a nevuah, it was only during the day, and that's what it says in Chazal, in the Mechilta, right? As the Pasuk says, in Pasuk Shmos Vav, Pasuk Ches, and by Midbar Gimel, Pasuk Ala B'Yom, Dibur Hashem al Moshe, in the day that Hashem spoke to Moshe, which tells us that other Nevi'im, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam appears to them, B'chaloyim, in a dream, B'layla, at night, right? But by Moshe Rabbeinu, it was right in the middle of the day when Moshe Rabbeinu had his revelations from Hashem. So that's what Chazal tell us. Now, the Ibn Ezra says, "Bechol zeh, nevertheless, kishayu aneris dolkim, when the lights of the menorah were on, when they were illuminated, hoya kiyom, it was like day, v'diber imo balayla, and the Rebbeinu Shel Olam even gave nevuah to Moshe Rabbeinu at night. In other words, you have to say when he was near the lights of the menorah, when he was in the Ol Moed, he could have gotten his nevuah at night. This is what the Ibn Ezra says in Bamidbar, Parakas Pasuk Beis. So he darshens over there because prior to the pasuk Bahaloscha Haneros, when you light the neiros and parshas Bahaloscha, so that's juxtaposed to a pasuk that says Vayishma Sakom Medaba Elav, that Moshe heard this voice of Hashem speaking to him. So he wants to say that the voice of Hashem can be heard speaking to him even at night, if it's Bahaloscha Haneros, at a time when the neiros are lit in the menorah, so that he could have an nevuah. Now this is for us; it's esoteric, but this is the way the Ibn Ezra understands the juxtaposition, and the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says, "V'ze'einenu koch al das Rabbeinu." This is not true according to Chazal. She'amru, they said, "V'halol nidbar imo ela b'yom." Chazal said the lashon Hashem only spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu during the day, and that you take Chazal at face value. You're coming to say no, but there's exceptions that if the menorah is lit, it is tantamount to being like day because it's bright out there. So, the Ilu Yoda, if the Ibn Ezra knew Mabe Nevuas Moshe Nevuas Shar Neviim. The Ramban is very sharp. He says if the Aben Ezra understood the real difference between the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Nevuah of the other Neviim, Lo Chashav came. He wouldn't have thought that to say this, and therefore he takes him on. And in that piece, the Ramban actually says something more to explain the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and the other Neviim and the Mefarshim. And the Ramban says at this point we're not going to try to explain this because this is Alpi Kabbalah. So that's about as much as we can talk about, we can get into the Ramban. Okay, so I just thought, now the Meshech Chachma says something very interesting. He says, that's why we can understand that the Pasuk says, V'yikhwe lecha. By Truma, it says, V'yikhuli. Take for me the donations at the beginning of Truma. Take the gold and silver and the kesef, leave for me. But over here, Moshe Rabbeinu, v'atat etzava, and v'yikhu, and take the oil, a lecha, for yourself. There will be a benefit for yourself with this oil, says the Meshech Chachma. The benefit is that Moshe Rabbeinu, according to the Eben Ezra, will be zeichet to have nevuah even during the night, when the menorah is lit. And therefore, that's why it says v'yikhu eilecha, always means for your benefit, for yourself. Take it for you. There is an element of personal benefit. And when we say personal benefit, of course, it's not a physical benefit. It'll be a spiritual benefit to Moshe Rabbeinu. But that's what the Meshech Chachma wants to say. And then he says a very interesting thing. He says that there's a din in Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat that we know that Tchilas Din cannot be during the night. In other words, if Beis Din convenes for Din, they need clarity. And therefore, they initially hear the case during the day, because day is a time of clarity. Night is a time of uncertainty. And therefore, the Beis Din can only start listening to a case during the day. Now, they can render judgment, the final judgment they can render at night, but not the Tchilas Din. And the Sma says, the Sman Shulchan Aruch says that it's Simon Hay. It's Simon Hay. That ain't done in Betchilas Laila. The Sman writes, but if there are Neiros, if there are candles that are lit in the room, in other words, if the lights are turned on, right, which they didn't have electric lights in the times of the Sma several hundred years ago, then Beis Din could even begin to listen to the beginning of the din even at night. This is what the Sma says, which is a big Kiddush. But the Meshech Chachma, who's a further a Kiddush, wants to say that where would the Sma know this from? Perhaps it's from what we're saying right here. Because the Meshech Chachma says that according to Eben Ezra, that you can have, Moshe Rabbeinu could have Nevuah even at night, even though the characteristic of the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is the characteristic is that it's clear, right? It's during the day with great clarity, but at night there's no clarity. But with the menorah on, there is. So therefore, he's taking this, says the Meshech Chachma, to say that that's how the Sma knows that if the candles are lit, so the light the day is it's illuminated. Now, I think that the Meshech Chachma is a big Kiddush because I would have understood this more on a spiritual level. In other words, that the clarity that you have with the menorah is not just the physical light. It's not like, it's like you can take all the flashlights in the world, you can take all those bright lights the way they when the water company comes to fix a water break in the middle of the night, they have these massive lights. It looks like in the middle of the day where they're working. But that's not the illumination we're talking about. We're talking about the illumination of the menorah, which adds a spiritual dimension, right? Not just a physical dimension. And that's what how I would have understood it, why the Eben Ezra says it's the lights of the menorah. He could have nevuah, but the Meshech Chachma was taking it a step further, and he wants to say, no, it would be any light at all, and that would be the source of the Sma to say that Beis Din Kedan as long as the lights are on. Okay, I thought that was just a very interesting and somewhat of a typical Meshech Chachma. Now, what we want to talk about is the part of the pasuk which says you take this olive oil, Shemen Zayis, Zoch, it has to be pure, Kasus Lamor, and they have to be beaten out, and it has to be totally pure from any sediments. It's only the first several drops of oil that the olive emits that is kosher for the menorah. Okay, now it's not all of the oil that you squeeze out of the olive. It's only the initial oil, and that initial oil is free from any sediments, from any dregs. The Gemara Menachah says that that's only true of the menorah. But in the menachos, right, oil that's brought on the mizbeach, in other words, you have oil that's mixed with fine flour, right? That's the mincha. That could be brought even from the secondary oil from the olive. Now, the question is, why is there a difference? I would just like to share something that I heard. And it goes something like this. He says, what are you doing on the mizbeach? You're bringing a carbon to atone for your shortcomings. That's what we do, right? It says, the oil that has sediments, right, that alludes to someone who has chesronos, who has shortcomings, right? There's sediments. And what we're doing is we're acknowledging that we've had shortcomings, and we're coming and we're being makriv that. We're being makriv ourselves on the mizbeach, so to speak. That's what the carbon is. And we're coming to we want to sublimate. We want to take our chesronos and we want to negate them and to improve ourselves. And therefore, we're makriv that on the mizbeach of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That is symbolic of using that kind of oil. Now, listen to this. The oil of the menorah, so if it's Shem Mizayah Zoch, it's totally pure. It's got no sediments in it. What does that mean? That stands for clarity, right? Something that's very clear. And the oil of the menorah has to give. Now, of course, we know, we spoke about this last week, the menorah brings about the clarity of Torah, and we talked about the Rishonim that say that there are seven branches of Chochmah, but at the end of the day, menorah is all about Torah. We'll talk about this maybe later this week, the difference between, last week we spoke about the difference between the Oren and the menorah. One is a person who's Terasu Mnasa, one is a person who follows the other pattern, and maybe we'll have some other thoughts as we go further this week, but on some basic level, we know that the menorah alludes to Torah, that the Torah Shebal Peh, at times of the Yavanah, the times of Hanukkah. Now, clarity means that there was a moment that I had, there was a lack of clarity, there was uncertainty, things were obscure in my mind, right? And I had to go ahead and bring myself to clarity. So if the flame that comes out of the oil represents clarity, so what represents the state of lack of clarity? The oil itself. In other words, the flame, right, comes from the oil. That means when you pour the oil, you're in a state of lack of clarity, in a state of suffix, a state of sometimes even confusion. And so when you light the menorah, now that or comes out, the or of Torah, and that it disperses all the confusion, and therefore brings about a clarkite. And a clarity in your mind. So it comes out that the flame is the clarity, but that which brings about the clarity, you can't have clarity if you didn't have confusion to start off with. In other words, clarity is always the answer to I've got a problem, where's the solution? So the shemen, the shemen is the state of confusion, right? And the flame is the state of clarity. Now, when are you going to get clarity? You're only going to get clarity if you enter the process with a clear mind, meaning to say without your own bias, without your own self-agenda, without your ulterior motives. In other words, if you want to know, if you want to find out, you want to research something, if you're already committed to one side, then you're going to skew the research. You're going to take the research the way you want it to. Two people can read the same article. And we've seen this all the time. Two people can hear the same drasha. Two people can learn a same piece of Torah, actually. You can go into a sugya, and if I'm convinced of a certain mahalach, I'm going to say, this is what, don't you see Rashi saying this? No, he's not saying this. He's saying what I'm saying. We've been through that a million times. That's because you're entering something with a foregone conclusion and you're only using the answer to support your supposition. So therefore, in order to be able to have clarity, you have to enter the process with a clear mind, with a lack of self-agenda, with a lack of ulterior motives. And therefore, that's why the shemen has to be shemen kosus lamor, shemen zayizuch. There has to be a clarity in the oil that you're using, even as you are unclear, but you have to make yourself as if I have no self-agenda. There's purity here. I'm not invested in the oil. There's no dregs in the oil. There's no sense sediments in the oil. And Mamela, if that's the case, then when I light the menorah, then I can have the clarity. And that would be the difference between that and menorah. By benachas, it doesn't have to be that way. We have a klal, mitosha lo lishma bolishma. According to many gerses, the halacha is that not only limanat Torah, but any mitzvah that you do shalo lishma, you should do it that way, because mitosha lo lishma bolishma. So even if that oil has a little bit of shalo lishma, but you still have to bring it as a carbon, as long as it's l'shem, that carbon, right? But if I have some pniya, some interior motive in there, that would not negate the process of bringing a carbon. Okay, we'll stay here. We'll stop here. And again, tomorrow morning, Rabbi Sintel will give the shiurs. I'll be away, Mirza Hashem. I heard this. I don't give away all my sources.